So glad to be able to finally be with you all. Appreciate some of you traveling a good distance to be with us, and that's quite an example. Appreciate that. And those who are not in the top health to come. My, that you don't know what an encouragement you are. Maybe you do, but it's just really great to see that. Young people, you can put yourself in that group if you want to, whoever you are. I do. So we thank you for coming. There's so many other things in this world that you could be doing right now. I don't even have to remind you. But you are here. As the world passes us by on the outside, we are here worshiping God. Joe, thank you for leading songs about Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, that's the title of our lesson tonight. Set for the defense of the gospel is tomorrow night's lesson, the Lord willing. And all of us need to be set for the defense. Paul was, said he was. And we'll have more to say about that tomorrow night. But we're looking unto Jesus. People are looking for role models, athletes. And some say, well, I'm not a role model. Well, they are, whether they want to be or not. They are out in front of everybody, and people are looking at them. And the same way with us. We're role models. That's why we're told to let our light so shine before men. Not just to shine. Well, it's shining, whether it's for good or bad. It's shining one way or the other, isn't it? But he said, let it so shine, Matthew 5, verse 16, that it glorifies our Father which is in heaven. So that's what we need to do, what we need to work on. Jesus was a good example, wasn't he? He was our perfect example. We sing the song, He the great example is and pattern for me. I remember singing that when I was a little child. I didn't know what those words were. I could just barely read them. But I learned later on that he is our example. He is our pattern. I learned what a pattern was. Didn't know what a pattern was. Imagine that. But we learned that he was our example and our pattern. He's the one that we should follow. We can't watch him on television, but we can read about him in here, can't we? Here's a book that we just can't put down or ought not to be able to. Sometimes I hear people talk about books. Oh, I just read that. Just read it all night, one night. And I asked, as I say today, I asked him, have you read the Bible like that? Is it a book you can't put down? Well, it's too big. It's too cumbersome. Well, shouldn't be that way, should it? I think the more we get into it, sometimes the smaller it seems. It looks impossible, maybe from the first sighting, but boy, when we fall in love with it, we just can't put it down. Our faith is compared to, in Hebrews chapter 12, and Paul does this several times, if he be the writer of this great book, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 beginning, we'll read the first three verses. We could continue for quite a while, but he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. While you're turning there, that word cloud means a sky-encompassing cloud. On the way up here the last couple of days, we've seen some of the most beautiful clouds. And well, I could just stand here and talk to you about a lot of things. We've worn our eyes out looking. Get on top of some of these mountains. I said I've been closer to God on our way here than ever before. But seeing we also are compassed about, this all-encompassing cloud, with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And some have said that that sin is unbelief, that it threatens our faith, doesn't it? And so we need to lay it aside. Let us run with patience or endurance, because we are in a long-distance run. I know life is sometimes considered as brief, and in a sense, yes, it is. But in other ways, it is a long run. It is a hard battle, and the devil is going to make sure of that, isn't he? Shake your head this way. That's right. He is. He's going to put up roadblocks and detours and things to get us off. Every one of us. Somebody says, I don't have any trouble. Yes, you do. You just don't know it. You're losing the battle. It's like a country being in a war and not realizing it. What problems they're going to have. So we're in a long distance run with challenges and difficulties. It takes discipline, self-discipline, and determination to do it, to run this race, living by faith. Looking at verse 2, the title of our lesson, Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus. There's the goal. Remember Michael Jordan when he played basketball? Some of you might remember his name. They would focus in on his eyes when he was shooting a free throw. I said he was a good example until one time he closed his eyes and shot it and still made it. But usually, as he played, and sometimes football players or baseball players, when they're up at bat, they'll say, look at the focus in his eyes. He's not, hi, Mom, hi, Dad. Boop, strike three. Go sit down. No, they're focused on what is going on, aren't they? And that's the way you and I have to be. Is the devil going to try to take our eyes off the goal? Shake your head this way. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. He sure is. Every day, all day, wherever, at Walmart, billboard signs, magazines, television, computer, it doesn't matter. The devil is there to pop and rear up his head and lead us away. Somehow, some way, and sometimes we're not aware of it. So we have to be careful and determined and disciplined in this long-distance run. Just back a page in chapter 10 and verse 38, he says, now the just shall live by faith, but any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We cannot draw back. We cannot fall back. And just a couple of verses before that. For you have need of patience. See, that there's our word. Run with patience. Run with endurance the race that is set before us. So you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Run with this endurance. Run with this determination. And this is what it takes. Paul, again, in the 1 Corinthians letter, he tells us, again, in a comparison to an athlete, in the Hebrew letter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, rather, and verse 24, he says, Know ye not, verse 24, that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run like they do, that you may obtain. You be the one that wins the prize. Now, in the race as a child of God, there's not going to be only one winner, is there? All that complete the race, obey the rules, will be a winner. So he says in verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. You want to be champion? Somebody told Muhammad Ali, said, oh, I'd like to be able to do what you do, get in there in that ring and box for about 30 or 40 minutes and then win all these millions of dollars. And he said, son, you don't see me at 4 o'clock in the morning running in the cold and the rain. He said, you don't see me down at McDonald's scarfing down hamburgers and milkshakes. There is a discipline. There is a determination. You have to go through that to get here, and which a lot of people are not willing to do. But we have to go through our discipline and our determination so that we also can win as we run this race. Paul said again in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 that all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? We run this race alone, but we also run it together, don't we? Do we need each other? Would it have been discouraging, Joe, if you'd come tonight and just... Maybe me and you show up? Oh, wouldn't it have been sad? Just a couple of you show up? Isn't this good to look around and say, wow, hear this good singing? Yes. Hear the good prayer prayed tonight? Mm-hmm. Want more of that? Okay, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And we run this race, as we said, because we all are going to appear alone before the judgment seat. Romans 14, 11, 12. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Does that mean mine? Yes, sir. One of these days, I'm going to bow my knee and my tongue is going to confess the things I've done in this body, whether it be good. Does it stop there? I like to confess all the good, Lord, but forget about that bad stuff. It ain't going to happen, is it? Everything. And even if I tried to stop with the good, would he say, well, is that all? I say, yes. Well, I guess that's it. No. He knows more about Mo than I do, doesn't he? I said, he knows about the number of the hairs in my head. Well, they're getting fewer every day, it seemed like. So he knows more about me. He remembers things that I don't even recall sometimes. So we run this race together. We run it alone. Together, because we must look out and encourage each other. In Hebrews chapter 12 or verse 12, he says, lift up the falling hands, the weak knees. Lift each other up. Galatians 6 and verses 1 and 2, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such in one. Not destroy him, but restore him. Sometimes I see somebody falling down, and that, yeah, he's just getting what he deserved. Am I giving him a lifting hand? Mm-mm. I need to go to that brother or sister and say, can I help you? I'm here to help. I see you need help. And he may turn me away. He may forbid my help, may refuse it this time. But he won't forget that we were there, will he? Or a call. Missed you today. My mom used to do that. She had three hungry teenage boys. After, you know how it is about 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, about 14, 16 years old, and you could bite a nail until you're so hungry, you know. She'd go home and make calls to people and say, we missed you at services today. And she said, sometimes she'd hear the most feeble excuses, and somebody said, that's just a lie in Sunday clothes. Well, we had kids over last night, and they stayed up so late, we just couldn't get them up. And she said, she'd tell them, preach them a little sermon, she'd say, you get them up Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, if they were up late? Yeah, they got to go to school. What's that teaching those kids? And my mom was teaching those people a lesson. When she called again, she's going to find out why they were there. And they weren't going to give her those lies dressed up. So maybe sometimes we need to show a little more care, huh? If I'm not here Sunday morning, well, he'll be there Sunday night. How about a call? Missed you. Well, I was at work. Or I'm so sick, I can't. Okay, we'll be right over. You need help, we'll be there. We'll bring you what you need. And let me tell you this. If it's you that's in that sick bed, allow Joe, allow Steve, allow Mike or Ava or anybody else. Allow, yes, I could use your help. I could, because it's good for me to help you. Did you know that? More blessed to give than receive. I'm the one that's blessed by being able to help, see? Yeah, I can get by. Yeah, you can get by. But allow that. And isn't that going to make this bond closer? Yes, sir. You're going to love each other, and you can't love people that you're never with. So our contest of faith is pictured as in a great arena with great amount of witnesses watching us. Through the years, I remember some of the names: Roger Bannister, Glenn Cunningham, Bob Mathias, Jesse Owens. In the 19, was it 40 Olympics against Hitler in the master race, and he beat them all? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't, if all those great runners, Olympic and other kinds, Jim Ryan, another one, and on we could go, a fellow named Johnson in the last few years for the United States. If they were all cheering for us, if we were running in a race and they were all standing by, they'd have to wait a long time for me to come by, but if they were out there cheering, run, go, would that encourage you? Yes. My coaches, when I went out for a team, if they said, well, boys, we're just going to have practice this year, no games. See ya. I practiced for the games, okay? I liked being cheered for, okay? Well, we're not going to have that, okay. Then I'm not coming. But we've got a great crowd, a cloud, a sky-encompassing crowd cheering us on. Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Ruth, Sarah, Esther, on those names. And they're standing there, they're cheering for us, as it were, this great cloud of witnesses that we've read about before. We know them. And what tells me, folks, if they can do it, then so can I. Don't tell me, well, it just can't be done. God has given us a race that we just can't run. Well, what kind of a God is that? You see that ear of corn out before the horse that he's never going to catch? You hold it out there and he's chasing it. Is that what God did? You ain't never going to get it, but you can try at best. That's cruel. That's like the mythological gods of people in ancient days. That were cruel to them, that you had to sacrifice your children to. What? That's not the kind of God we serve. He loves us so much, John 3:16, you know how much, don't you? See? And so it should behoove us, with this great crowd of witnesses cheering us on, as it were. Somebody wrote these words, lives of great men all remind us we may make our lives sublime, and departing leave behind us footprints in the sand of time. They were an example, and so can we be. You and I all know people who were good examples to us, that helped encourage us, as well as we see Jesus, as well as we know how much God loved us, how much the apostles went through, and other Christians, numberless Christians that Hebrews 11 talks about, and those that suffered in the old times, how they did it. And we want to know how they did it so we can do it as well. I was talking to a lady a few years ago. She was an equestrian. I didn't know what that was. She rode horses. She rode in a 100-mile endurance race. Their motto was, to finish is to win. She said, sometimes, Mo, she said, I have to get off of my horse. He just comes to a stop. And he said, and just looked around at me and said, that's it. I can't take another step. She said, I'll get off of my horse and I'll go around to his big head, his neck, and pat him on the head and talk to him gently, rub his face, say, big fella, you can do it. You can do it. Come on. Come on. We can do it. So I get back on him, and here he goes. Ever been in that position where you needed help? Somebody to say, come on, girl. Come on, big fella. You can do it. We can do it. Do we need each other or what? We're brothers and sisters, aren't we? Not just a title, but that's how close we are. And in a home, in a family, when brothers and sisters aren't there, we know where they are. Or if we don't know where they are, we're going to find out, aren't we? Why? Because we love them. We love them. And that's the way it ought to be as children of God. To finish is to win. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up early, just before the goal is reached. When you see somebody else slowing down, can we give them a kind word? Sure. Well, Brother Hafley, I don't know what to say. How about we miss you when you're not here? Email? A card? You can buy these cheap cards. We quit buying this Hallmark stuff, $5 a throw, or just a little letter. We miss you so much. What did Jonathan say to David? Thou shalt be missed, for thy seat shall be empty. Wow. When you're not here, you're missed. See? That's the way it ought to be. Ought to be working together, loving each other, and wanting to go to heaven together. So from great runners of the Old Testament, and Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, and Romans 15, 4, the things which were written aforetime were written for our learning. We can learn from the Old Testament. We don't throw that Old Testament away, do we? No, it's part of us. The Old Testament sends us to the New, and the New sends you right back. See? You got to know them both. See? A lot of the terms we wouldn't understand if we didn't read the Old Testament. But some people say, well, poor guy, you know, he never had a chance. He never had a chance. Just look at his parents. Look at where she was raised. Look at the color of his skin. Look at the, just never going to make it. I remember an entertainer named Sammy Davis Jr. He's about this tall. He said, I was sitting in my dressing room one day, and a fellow came in, another black entertainer came in and said, oh, just great, I just can't make it through. Everybody's against me. And here's what Sammy told him. He said, you think you got it rough? He said, I'm short. I'm skinny, and he was. He said, I'm black like you. He said, I'm ugly. I'm blind in one eye. He said, I'm a Jew, and I'm married to a white girl. And this is back in the day. He said, you think you got problems? You can't make it? Get over it. Pull up your bootstrings and go for it. Too many people are giving up the ship when they really never even tried. Look at the Old Testament characters. Did Abraham have any problems? Let's see. Did Noah? Yeah. Did Joseph? Hello. You can stand right up in your seat right now and tell me about Joseph. How about Job? Well, he just got by. You know, God loved him like the devil said. Through all this, what did it say? Job sin not. Wow. Can we learn from these Old Testament characters? You better believe it. We need to find and fulfill our life's mission in faithful devotion to God. We need to use our talent. Jesus talked about, what was it? Five talent, two talent, one talent man. You know who's not in there? The no talent man. There's nobody in there, is there? So every one of us has a talent. It may not be as many as others, but we have one, and you know what I better do? I better find it. And I better use it, or I'm going to be like that one talent man. Oh, Lord, I went and buried it. Oh, goody for me, I'm so good. Really? Was he? How'd the Lord feel about that guy? You can read in Matthew 25, I think, first 13 verses, or after that. About verse 14, I guess, beginning, so on. So we need to be this good example and find our talent and get busy using it. In Hebrews 12 and verse 2, he says, looking unto Jesus that we read earlier. Looking unto Jesus, there's your goal. Football, a quarterback, what is he looking at? He's looking at where he's going to throw that ball. A pitcher in a baseball, where's he looking? Right there, in that catcher's mitt. The basketball player is looking at the goal. You take your eye off the goal, you're going to miss it. Whether it's the batter, the pitcher, the quarterback, or whoever it is, we're going to miss the mark if we don't keep our eye on the goal. And that's what we need to do. Looking unto Jesus. Not looking back. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to the 22. That's the dog and hog passage, you know. The dog returns to his vomit. That's after he's had a taste of the gospel, and he goes back into the world. Have you ever seen a dog return to his vomit? Oh, I know that's not pleasant. It's awful. But it's in the scriptures, isn't it? Well, I don't like to think about that. The Lord wants us to. You turn your back on him, you go back into the world, you're just like that dog. I can take you right to the spot where I was the first time I saw that. It nearly made me sick. And then I heard, a few years later, I heard this passage. Guess what I thought of? 8x10 glossy of that little dog. Oh, me. And that's me if I go back into the world. See that? And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Well, somebody told me, he said, well, that wasn't as bad as that dog returning to his vomit. Well, I tell you, son, then you just don't know what mire is, do you? I got to work a week in a hog farm. Knee-deep in mire. Mm-hmm. So whenever I read this passage, I got those two covered, don't I? Yes, sir. Sure do. So, we gotta leave this old world. What did the angels tell Lot and his family? Leave and what? Genesis 19. Don't do what? Don't look back. That's right. Somebody had that, what, Luke 17:32. So, over the clock in the back of the church building. Well, what does that mean? What is that? Luke 17? I said, look it up. He said, remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. Okay, we'll know what time it is. See, and she looked back. See, there are temptations. She had family in that city. She had memories in that city. God said, "Leave and don't." Well, she batted 500. She left. That's pretty good for any athlete. But it wasn't good enough for God. Got to keep our eye on the goal. Some of you taking notes. Put down 1 Peter chapter 4, 3 and 4. Somebody's going to wonder why you don't go back, wonder why you change. You're going to make the change in your life, they're going to wonder why. And they're going to make fun of you. It's strange. What's wrong? Come on, go with us. Drag you back into the world. Mm-mm, you cannot go. You cannot do that. And some of us have been there, done that, haven't we? And our friends want to know why. When I worked at, as I used to say, when I worked for a living, before I started preaching, that I worked at Caterpillar Tractor. And some of them say, come on, Mo, go with us to the bar. I said, we'll get you some hot chocolate. We won't make you drink. I don't care. I'm not even going into that place, you see. Give me hot chocolate or whatever. Bring me the hot chocolate out anywhere else, and I'll drink it. But I'm not going with you there. Bad influence. There are going to be people test you, laughing, goody two-shoes. You feel like you're better than we are. Mm-mm. No. You know what they're wishing? They're wishing they'd be like you. They're wishing they had the courage to say no. That's what they're wishing. Look unto Jesus, the author. It's also, that same word is translated prince, and the captain of our salvation in Acts 3 and verse 15. He's the one who takes the lead. Did he show us the way or what? He showed us that it can be done. But somebody told me, he said, Mo, but Jesus knew when he died he was going to heaven. And I said, so? What's the difference? If I live by his grace and his mercy and I obey his commands, can I know the same thing? Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is pain. Is that what he said? Close. One letter. Gain. Bingo. Philippians 1:21. See? Yeah, he was in a strait between two, whether to depart and be with Christ. We said, which is far better than this place? Oh my. Yes. No pain, no sorrow, no tears, no heartache, no nothing. Is it going to be better or what? Well, what are we going to look like? I don't care what I look like. Do you? As long as I make it there. See, a lot of things I don't know about heaven, but I know enough to want to go. And somebody said, well, there's two places. Is there really two? Heaven or hell? Is that a choice? You know, it's not like going to Hawaii or Paris or someplace. You know, which should I do? No. I don't have to think about hell, do you? Let's see, do I want to go there? Not long. Absolutely. There is no choice. He's the author and finisher or perfecter of our faith. In him, faith had its perfect work. And as we suggested earlier, 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 through 25, he is our example. Isn't he? Look to him. Don't look to anybody else. Look to him. Sometimes we compare ourselves. Well, I'm better than she is. Uh-huh. What good is that doing you? He set the all-time record for endurance, didn't he? Runners, as they run, staying with it, that's hard. If you've ever been on an athletic team and had to do some running, the coaches make sure we had a fundamental coach who made us run till our tongues hang out. And the first 2 weeks of practice, and some of the kids said, if this is the way it's going to be all year, I quit. And they did, and I was glad. Less competition. They were better than me, but they quit because they didn't have the discipline and determination. And runners will run in all kinds of weather, all kinds of pain and weariness. You know what they say the champion does? He fights through that pain. These great swimmers, you know, look like they could swim till the cows come home. They hit a wall in those long, I don't know how they do it. And runners, 26 miles, you couldn't drag me that far. Thank you, Mike, for the water. So they have to go through all of that. Remember reading about J.D. Tant, the Texas preacher? He said, we had a great meeting. Wrote home back. He said, I had a great meeting. He said, nobody obeyed the gospel, but we withdrew from 12. Sometimes that's necessary, isn't it? Sometimes churches have to do that. Have to discipline. Sometimes there's inner voices telling us that we just can't go on. But there's another voice, Galatians 6 and verse 9. Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. One version said, if you don't throw in the towel. Another one said, if you don't flag. And I said, what's that mean? Don't wave the white flag. You can't quit. Do you get weary? Do you get tired? Sure you do. As we said, the devil's going to make sure of that. And why did Paul tell us not to be weary? Because you can be. Did he know that? Oh, do you think he felt like quitting sometime? Read 2 Corinthians 11, about verse 23 and following. All the beatings, all the hunger, all the cold, all the problems that he went through, yet he did not quit. That's the way we have to be. And read Hebrews 5, 7 through 9. Jesus with strong crying and tears in the garden. My, on his face, pleading to God, take this cup away from me. But he did it for us. How could he do it? How do the long distance runners do it? Because they can see themselves standing on the platform, bending over, and somebody placing that gold medal around their neck. That's how they can do that. When they can run and run and run and run some more. Even through all the pain, even with blood filling their shoes. In pain. In pain. They pay for it. Paul said in Philippians 2, about verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. See? Paul said again in Romans 12, 1 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's going to be things years from now, if we live, that you might not have been able to overcome. But because of your discipline and determination, you are. How was David able to defeat Goliath? Because he fought the lion and the bear previously. You have your lions and your bears. And when Goliath comes along, let's see. God help me through that and that and this and that. And with his help, we'll make it. We'll make it. Isn't that fair? I think it is. How did he do it? Hebrews 12 and verse 2 it tells us. For the joy that was set before him. Is that joy set before you? It is. You think about heaven often enough, long enough, hard enough. You meditate on going to heaven. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I think Galatians 5, somewhere on verse 15, I'm not sure. Did he bear in his body the marks? Yes, he did. Take his shirt off, you could see. You could see what he went through. For the joy. The devil tries to blind us. It doesn't take much to blind us, does it? What's the devil doing to you? How's he trying to blind you? Take your eye off of the goal of heaven. You know, the cold weather, we were longing for the heat. It's coming, ain't it? Mm-hmm. And we think, oh, for some cool weather. Hard to satisfy us sometimes. But what about hell? And to know there's no way out. No vacation, no furloughs, no time off, no weekend, no break. Oh, we get a 5-minute break. Okay. Nope. And that forever. Listening to the radio about a year ago, and the preacher was saying, he said, do you ever think about this? The rich man in Luke 16, he doesn't talk about us. He said, what I think I get out of that passage is that hell is solitary confinement. You put a prisoner in solitary for a while. Whew. How about forever? And it doesn't matter either way, outer darkness. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh my, I'm tormented in this flame. Don't want to be there, don't want to go there, don't want to do what it takes. But I can, if I let the devil blind me. If I do. How could Jesus endure? For the joy that was set before him. How can you endure? For the joy that's set before you. And we all can be there. Someday. Eternity will begin. Time will end all things. No more time. The eternity. Never ending. Let's look unto Jesus. You've listened patiently tonight. And I thank you for that. And hopefully we can benefit. As we look through our lives. And young people. With all of your hair. And no lines and wrinkles in your face. You know, we get older and we gain things we don't want to gain. And we lose things we don't want to lose. Ain't that a fact? But grow stronger in the Lord. Fight the good fight. Paul said, I'm now ready to depart. I'm ready to cast off. I'm ready to pull up the tent pegs. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4, about verses 7 and 8, long in there. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. Not to me only, he said, but to all them that love his appearing. That's us. That's us. Let's love his appearing, not be hating it. If I'm not living right when he comes, I'm going to be, oh, so sorry. For and that forever. And I'll hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Ouch. Not a timeout, not a go to your room for half an hour. My folks used to knock on the steps and say, if you think you can come down and act like the rest of us. And I never said, no, I'm not good enough yet. I was ready to come out of there. See? And what did Abraham say to the rich man? There's a great gulf fixed. Oh, no can do. You can't come from there to here. No matter how much you want to, how much you might pray, or how much you want to, it ain't going to happen. Let's miss that and go to heaven. If you're here tonight and not a child of God, you need to be more than you need another breath of air to breathe, another mouthful of food to eat. But you don't want to miss heaven. You want to go there. By responding in obedience to his will, by being baptized into Christ. And let me just say one more thing. If I'd been there in Acts 2 with those thousands of Jews, and I'd have said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Those Jews that were convicted by Peter's sermon. And when he'd have said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, I would have said, is that all? After what I have done, that's all I have to do. Repent of that past sin. Change my life and be baptized. You mean I don't have to kill my son? I don't have to cut off an arm or a leg? Nope. Just make the change necessary. If you're here in that position, that condition, and you want to change it, why not now? Right now, while we stand, Joe, while we sing.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him?